get to host this weekend a youth conference, Kingdom Youth Ministries, and today we're also blessed with one of their main leaders to get to share with us. So if we could welcome Ryan Edberg, and Ryan, if you'd like to come on up and share with us. Appreciate Pastor Tom, who put a lot of effort in helping to make this happen. So this is Ryan.
Well, thank you for letting me be here. It is a privilege. Could I get that podium? Good morning. Well, you guys feel like family because I've been here a few times. We did Voice of God here back with Joseph C. a little bit ago. And then we've done, this is our second youth conference here. And then I think I've known Tom all my life. He's just been there. So it's awesome. And he keeps saying you got to keep coming back to Marion for youth conferences. So definitely love Tom. Plus, when I first said, hey, I'd like to speak, is there any spot for me on Sunday? A while back, he said, no, there's not. We've got the series that is going on, and there's like 47 people scheduled, and it's all in a row. For us to get one spot, you in there, everybody's got to move. And I said, no worries, I'll find a spot. And he called and said, no, we want you. Everybody's moved. So I don't know who everybody was that moved, but thank you for the privilege to just get to share with you guys this morning. It's an honor to be here for sure. I don't take it lightly. It is a privilege when you get to speak, especially in another man's pulpit. So thank you very much. Well, I don't even have to preach this morning. Everybody's been stealing my messages when they're just, everybody's all over my message this morning. So I'm excited to preach it because I know that God's got a theme for this morning. We've been doing these youth conferences all over, and it really has been a step of faith and walking out. You know, this is a hurt generation that needs God. Our youth need God. They're lost, and the world is telling them everything but God is the answer. And so we've got identity crisis, and we've got a generation that doesn't even know what bathroom to use right now. And we need to get our students on fire and the power of God working through their lives, filled with the Holy Spirit and moving in power. Amen? So we do about 16 youth conferences a year, and we preach all over, and we're just excited to see what God is doing in the younger generation. So what we've been doing here is my message, and what I feel like God has really been saying to do is talk about faith. Because you ever read a verse like 400 times, and then all of a sudden you're sitting there not reading it, and it comes alive to you, and you're like, wait a second, that makes sense. I had one of those moments, and you know it was so good when you write down what God was saying so you don't forget it? That's when you know it's not you. You're like, oh, that is good. Let me write that down. And so this morning I'm excited to talk to you a little bit. I want to talk about the Israelites just to start off with, because I was reading through a lot of the Old Testament and just trying to hear the stories, because I think that their stories is stuff that we can learn from. And so I was reading through about the Israelites and just studying on what that was. Did you know that it says in the Bible that there's about 600,000 men that left Egypt and went into the Promised Land? Now, most of you are probably smarter than I am, so I'll just say I had no clue where Egypt and Israel was on a map until I started to look, but I'm sure you guys all know. But if you don't know, it's only like 220 miles away. So it's like if you were going to be here and go to another part of Ohio. That's how far the Promised Land was. And so it was not that far. And if you think about it, 600,000 men, most scholars will say that it was about 2 million people with cattle and sheep and everything that were leaving Egypt and headed to the Promised Land. Now, think about that number for a moment, because it puts everything else into perspective. You see, when I was young, I had a picture Bible. And when I was looking through Exodus, it was like, you know, Moses strikes the rock and water comes out of it. And you see this rock like this big and a stream coming out. 2 million people. That is incorrect picture. You're going to get water for 2 million people. I bet a mountain split open and created a lake. You think about the sea parting, and my picture Bible had a, you know, a good hallway where they just walk through and they could probably reach each side. The dolphins are jumping over them or whatever it was. 2 million people. I don't even know if some of the people could see the wall of water. How far did it go? 20, 30, 50 miles that way? Think about the power of God with these, that many people. You see, I was looking through all of this, and it was like, you know, these 10 plagues. And the final plague, you know, where they said, finally, get out of here. Each plague, it said that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And I was just thinking about it, and I was praying about it, and I was like, God, why? Plague one, let my people go. Okay. You know, that's shorter. I'm like, what's happening here? Why are you doing that? God was showing his people his power. God was showing his people his power. Do you ever feel like you're in a desert place? Do you ever feel like you're on this hamster wheel in Christianity and life? You're running as fast as you can, but I'm not getting anywhere. God, I think I'm doing everything that you've called me to do, but I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. I know I've been there. You see, we read this story and we hear about the Israelites wandering for 40 years in the desert. And sometimes we think, you know, God's just got me in this desert place. Did you know that with 2 million people, Moses leading them out of the promised land, Moses could have been entering into the promised land while there were still people leaving Egypt with a line that big? I want to read a verse to you real quick here just to show you something about my God. Exodus 12 and 35 and 36. It says, now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and articles of clothing. And the Lord had given his people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. You see, sometimes we think that we're in this desert place because God's working on something through us. We're in this desert place because God's really just working out this stuff for us. You know that this desert was never meant for them? God's plan right here. Enter in, and by the time the first one's there, the last one's entering. And I'm going to send you with your enemies gold, silver, and clothes. I'm going to provide everything that you ever need, the best of the best, and I'm going to set you free and send you into the promised land. I'm going to send you to a place of milk and honey that's flowing. It's going to be everything you've ever thought it was going to be, and you're going to be there in less than a week. That's how long it would take to walk that far. That was God's plan. What kept him there? What kept him wandering? It's their lack of faith. You see, they went into the promised land and they said, there's giants in that land. We can't do that. You see, God had just showed them 10 plagues, 10 miracles where the Egyptians were getting pounded with something, but they were just fine. It's not touching us. And the first thing that happens when they get out is they see the army coming after them and they say, God's brought us out here to die. Really? You've just seen 10 miracles happen. And the first time you get out on your own, you stand there and you say, God's brought us out here to die. And he parts the sea. They go across the sea and they say, we're hungry. What are we going to eat? God's brought us out here to die. We should go back and be slaves. What? You see, God, they started to complain about hunger. And so God sent something to them called manna. Roughly translated, what is it? You see, it said that manna tasted like honey. So I'm sure it was good. But my favorite, you know, I love seafood. And so if you don't like seafood, we probably can't be best friends, but we can be friends. But my favorite is seafood. But I don't know if I could eat seafood for 40 years straight. Your favorite thing ever, I don't know if you could eat it for 40 years straight. You'd probably want a little bit of something mixed in with it. But they ate manna for 40 years, and I'm sure it tasted great. It says it tasted like honey. But that wasn't God's plan. Even with their own unbelief, wandering in the desert, God still provided for them. It may not have been his best. And there's some people today that are walking in this desert place. And is it your unbelief that's put you there? And you're blaming God. You see, it wasn't what God had had for them at all. They walked into this desert place. And they said, we can't take that land. We're grasshoppers in their eyes. You know, perception is everything. If you see yourself as a grasshopper in their eyes, you're going to be like a grasshopper just wandering in the desert. So they ate manna, this manna for 40 years. It's this magical bread. It comes every morning. You could only take, those that took too much didn't have too much. Those who took too little didn't have too little. And if you kept it for the next day, it rotted and smelled of worms. But on Sunday, or on the Sabbath, not Sunday, you're going to correct me on that one, but I caught myself and corrected myself. Anyways, on the Sabbath, they kept it for the next day, and it didn't rot or stink of worms. That's magical bread. And then God says, I want you to keep a jar of it to show generation to generation to generations of what you ate in the desert. And that didn't rot either. You know, it's not about the bread or the provision. It's about obedience. It was about obedience. And the Israelites are out there. They were complaining, complaining, complaining. They see miracle after miracle after miracle. And the first thing they do on the other side of the miracle is say, where's God? He's left me here to die. And I said, God, why? These are your people. Why in the world are they complaining after a miracle? And you know what he said to me? That's my people today too. That's the church today. How many times in our life do we come to a spot and we're like, God, where are you? I don't see you. I don't feel you. Have you brought me here to die? Are you with me? We look in our past and we see that God has never let us down. God has never forsaken us. He's been with us every step of the way. But when we look into our past, he's never left us. But when we come to this wall, we say there's no way around it. God, you've brought me here to die. We're no different than the Israelites. We need to, all of our past experiences are testimonies that God will never leave us or forsake us. That God has been with us here, here, and here, and so he will be with us here. We talked about David last night for the students. We said that David killed a lion and a bear, so he was able to fight a giant. He said, God had delivered me from a lion and from a bear, and this isn't any different. We need that David mentality to say, God has delivered my family here, God has delivered my family there, and so he will deliver my family here. Will your faith keep you in or out of the promised land? Because God has something for each and every one of us. God has a promised land for us. He's got something better, and we're content complaining with the manna in the desert saying, God, why are we out here wandering? I don't want that anymore. I don't want the just enough to get by. And a lot of us are living in that just enough to get by because our faith has blocked us from getting to where God wants for us. The biggest and best. And God is still faithful. God is still faithful and good. And even when we're doubt and pull back and shrink and whatever, God is still providing every single day. Providing every, it may not be the milk and honey, but he's still providing every day. And we need to get past the spot of just enough to the spot of more than enough. The spot where we're flowing with milk and honey. What if you had money flowing every day that you could bless every and any ministry you wanted to? That we could all walk up and hand that gal $1,000 and just say, go, go, and take 12 friends with you. That's a spot that we should be in as a church. But sometimes we let our fear and our doubt, and we're like, God, we're just a grasshopper. He's like, no, look, remember back. Remember back. Remember what I did for you. So I was reading through this. And I started to think, and I was like, God, what are you saying through this? You know, it says that the just shall live by faith. We're supposed to live by faith. So if we're going to live by faith, we got to know what faith is, right? I want to read this to you. It says in Romans 1:17, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." So we're supposed to live by faith. What is faith? Romans 10:17. "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God." Chris laughs at me a little bit because last night my mom was sick, and she was sick with the flu, and she couldn't hear me. Her ears were plugged. And so I'm talking to her, and she's like, "I'm believing for healing, but why isn't it working right now?" And she's just yelling because she can't hear. And I'm like, "Well, I'm believing that God's healing you. Sometimes it says lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I believe you're recovering." And a side note, I was talking to God and I said, "God, why does some people get healed and some people don't? And so this and that and another thing." And I don't want to go down this trail for a moment, but let me share this with you because I was excited about it. God said that some people don't receive their healing because there's gift of healings and there's gift of miracles. And when people come down, they ask for healing, they get the gift of healing. But because it wasn't a miracle, it didn't happen like that. They've got their healing. They start to doubt. And they say, "It didn't happen like I thought it was going to happen." Anyways, back to my story. She said, I can't hear. I'm like, "Mom, it's a healing. It's coming." And she's like, "What?" I said, "It's a healing." "What?" I said, "Faith comes by hearing and you can't hear. Never mind." Okay, I don't believe that, but I thought it was funny at the time. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, fear comes by hearing. Hearing anything other than the word of God. You turn on the news for just a moment, you can get in fear pretty easy. You listen to your friends and the people around you. If you're not with the right people, you can get in fear pretty easy. Faith comes by hearing, but only by the word of God. If you're going to build faith, hear the word of God. That's what's going to sustain you. That's what's going to bring you faith. I want to build up my faith. I was reading also with the gifts, gift of miracles, gift of healings, gift of stuff. There's a gift of faith. I started to read that. I'm like, "God, why? Gift of faith? Why don't I have the gift of faith?" I know this one guy who has the gift of faith. I mean, there were some big legal things that came against him. And we were like, "You're going to prison." He's like, "No, I'm not. I didn't do anything wrong and God loves me. It's good." I'm like, no, it's not good. They've got all this paperwork. You're going away for a long time. Nope. God loves me. This is so good. Oh, he loves me. I'm like, "Are you sure?" Nothing happened to him. They said, "This is just a misunderstanding." I'm like, nobody says $13 million is a misunderstanding. Gift of faith. He believed his God. This same guy was in Minnesota. He said, "I just wanted to see a timber wolf." We're like, "We've lived here our whole lives. We've never seen a timber wolf. I just want to see a timber wolf. God loves me so much. He's going to show me a timber wolf. God, show me a timber wolf." You're like, "You're not seeing a timber wolf." A timber wolf pulled a deer carcass across the road. We're just looking at him like, "Rub my head for a moment. You're my lucky nickel." Like, there's a gift of faith. If you don't have that gift of faith, renew your mind daily to the word of God. Some of us, I have to go back and say, "It's going to be all right. Get in the word," and then that faith comes. So here's what I want to say about faith. How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word. So here's where God spoke to me. Hebrews 11:1. I've read this verse a billion times. That's probably an exaggeration and I repent of that, but it was a lot. It says, "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I don't even think you got it yet. It was such revealed knowledge to me at that moment. I started to break down every single word in that and look it up in the dictionary. Faith is a substance. Substance is an actual matter, a physical thing that you can touch. Faith is a physical thing that you can touch, tangible thing that you can touch. So think about that. Faith is a substance of the things that you're hope for. So faith and hope is different. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. You go to a crime scene, you say, what's the evidence? Here, I can prove that this happened because of this, this, and this. I can prove it because of this, this, and this. You're working on a breakthrough. How can I prove it? Because of the faith. Look at the faith. That proves it. So you see, this is where God spoke to me and I had to write it down. So if you want to write this down, write it down. God spoke to me and said, faith and hope are different and people are getting it mixed up. It says that hope wishes for the best while faith produces. Your faith produces. You know, if you were to go into a car store and you say, I want to purchase a 2020 car, and you're willing to hand them money, there's no car yet. Why do you have enough faith and hope that you're going to put this money in their hands? Well, the evidence is, here's the machine shop. Here's all the parts that are manufacturing and putting this car together. I know that it's being built right now. I know it so much that here's my money. You see, that is the evidence of what I'm hoping to get. And it's building. What happens if you stop your faith? You stop production on what God is trying to do in your life. You see, people come forward and say, I need a miracle. Okay, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will be healed. It will come. It's going to happen. I don't feel any different. It didn't work. And you walk away and instantly it stops producing. It stops making. If they were to stop down the machine process, you would never get your vehicle. And you're like, well, why didn't you? Why don't I have it? They stop production. We stop production on our own miracles because we don't have the faith to step out. We talked last time I was here, I believe, about Peter walking on the water. And he says that, you know, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come. And Jesus said, it's not me. Don't come. I'm just kidding. He didn't say that. He said, come. And so Peter walked on the water. Now we know that nobody can walk on water except for maybe Ohio when it's really, really cold. But other than that, you can't walk on water. And Peter got out. It says the winds and the waves were crashing. He got out into a storm. The storm was crazy. And so Peter didn't walk on water. He walked on the word of God. He walked on the word that said, come. And instantly, it changed, and he could walk on water because he was walking on the word. Now, at the end, it says he began to sink, and Jesus said, you have little faith. I'm like, little faith? What are you talking about? I'm not going to get out of a boat in the middle of a storm, winds crashing, waves, everything hitting you in the face. What are you talking about, little faith? That's big faith. And he was able to walk on water because of his big faith. But he qualifies it by saying, why did you doubt? You see, when Jesus said, ye have little faith, he wasn't talking about the size of his faith. Because even with the mustard seed of faith, you can move a mountain. It wasn't the size of his faith. It was the duration of his faith. Ye have little faith instead of the faith lasting enough to get to Jesus. The faith kept them out of their promised land. Their lack of faith and their perception of who they were. God had it all set up for them perfectly. He said, take everything from the Egyptians. I'm going to show you miracle, miracle, miracle. And here, 200 miles that way, is your promised land. Leave with everything and go into the land of plenty. You see, they had a slave mentality. They came out of poverty. They came from being a slave. It took them 40 years to correct their thinking. It took them 40 years of wandering. And everybody died off except for the two men that said, we can do it. Their faith let them go in still. They had to wander with everybody else. But they were still able to enter into the promised land because they said, we can do it. We've got this. But everybody else had to die off because they were still in that slave mentality of, we're nothing. We're nothing. We can't do this. We're grasshoppers in their eyes. You know, the devil will keep you into a poverty and slave mentality thinking still today. If he can get you to think that you are nothing, then you will stay there and you'll wander. You'll wander in the desert. If you understand, like Ben talked about, that it's all paid for. The victory's been won. Get off my message. That has all been paid for. It's been won. We can walk with our heads held high. And like David and said, you know, I'll kill the lion and a bear. This is not going to be a problem. Here, put my armor on you. No, I don't need that. Give me a little rock. I'll show you what my God can do. We need to go from faith to faith. From miracle to miracle to say, God, this does look difficult, but you've had my back every single time. You've had my back every single time. This isn't going to be any different, God. I'm going to walk into this situation with my head held high. And know that God has got you. Your faith, is it producing? Or is it going to hold you back? You know, what you believe is still working. They believe that they couldn't defeat that land. And it worked. They got to wander. I don't believe I can ever get that job. Okay, you're right. Your faith is working. I don't believe I can get that promotion. I don't believe that family member will ever come to Christ. We're called to be believers. We're called to be believers. We need to get the unbelief out. Yeah, but get your butt out too. We're called to be believers and have faith. The just shall live by faith. I want to live by faith and I don't want to wander anymore. I want to get to where God has for me. The highest and best. It says that 30, 60, and 100 fold. Some people are happy at the 30 with the manna. I want to get to 100 fold. The land of milk and honey flowing with more than enough so that I can be blessed to be a blessing. Amen? Did you guys get something out of this morning? I just want to encourage you guys because I know that God has got something big for the church in this next season. You know, we don't sit around and pray for revival. We realize that Jesus was the revival 2,000 years ago. You know, we're not sitting here praying to God and saying, God, you know, send revival, send revival. He's like, no, not yet. Mm-mm. Nope, I don't want more people saved yet. Nope, no revival now. We're not waiting for God to move. He moved. He's waiting for us to move. When the church starts to be the church, and I believe that if we can get out of that slave mentality and into a victorious mentality mindset with faith to back it, it's going to produce our victory. It's actually creating our victory. Don't stop it shy where God says you have a little faith. Don't stop it and start to sink and say, it didn't work. Push through. How long are you willing to stand for your breakthrough? A day? An hour? A week? A year? Could you stand for 10 years on a breakthrough? Your faith is producing. It's actually a matter. It's actually the substance that's creating what you're hoping for. Don't stop production on it. So I want to thank you guys for letting me be here. I hope that encouraged you. I hope that blessed you. And we do have a table in the back too. I didn't put any merch or anything like that. But we put some children there that needed sponsoring. If you've ever thought about sponsoring a child and wanted to help somebody in need, It's $36 a month, and there's a few kids back there. I'd love to see them all sponsored. If you can step out of faith, or if you want to, Chris will be in the back and be able to help you guys with that. But we just thank you guys for letting us be here, for standing with Kingdom, for helping us launch forward with the youth, for just blessing us. You guys have been a blessing. It's an honor to be here with you and an honor to stand with this church and anything. So we appreciate you guys very much. If you want to go to the back and check that out, that would be great. And they said we get to receive an offering for the ministry. So we thank you guys for standing with us and partnering with Kingdom. If you want to partner monthly with Kingdom as well, Chris will be in the back. You can talk to him, and we'd be happy to do that. But Ben, I'm going to turn it over to you. Thank you guys so much for letting me speak this morning.